I want to say that tonight I'm going to be using the Amplified because there was a strong pressure to go a little bit deeper with this word rather than the NIV. So we're going to 1 John chapter 4. I can tell you that it will also connect with the scripture that was given earlier about Ephesians 6:12. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Now, I've given this message before, but I'd like to kind of precede this word with two particular verses to kind of stick out. And they are verse 18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thoughts, and there should be a circle around thoughts, of punishment. And so, he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown, and a circle again around the word grown, into love's complete perfection. When you fall in love with someone in the natural, you deal with all kinds of fears at the beginning. But when that person proves themselves over and over and your testing season is done, you're comfortable to share almost any level. And I wanted to make sure that you understand that that's not just with people, but it's with the Lord. And the fear of terror, etc., is what you and I were brought up in many cases. And it was with a constant overshadowing of guilt that the control tactics stayed in place. Control tactics from teachers, parents, religious systems, etc., political systems, and I could go on. So that verse should probably stick out a little bit so that you can rehearse it periodically and let love turn that fear out of doors. The other verse is verse 6. And in verse 6 it says, we are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God, learning to know, have relationship with God. Then it says, progressively. That's not in the NIV, but it is very much in the Amplified. Progressively to receive, recognize, and understand God. The next verse should have a circle also, or the next part. By observation and experience. Observation is one thing, but experiencing something will take you to the bank and you'll get interest. And to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him. An ever clearer knowledge of Him. Listens to us, and he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I'm going to back it up, but those two verses 6 and 18 are to be focused on so that you will understand the magnitude of this message. Verse 1, beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove, test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God, for many false prophets have gone forth into the world. I was listening to one of the television networks because the Holy Spirit told me to turn on that particular, and it was the same message that we had just a few weeks ago about Jesus and his triumphant entry. And the preacher was giving about the same message about that Jesus was placed on the donkey by his friends. And it was a surprise because I had never heard that by anyone. And this was a young man that was teaching. And he was very adamant about pressing in that forward thought that Jesus went in on a wild donkey that had never been ridden, and he can ride your wild ones into heaven, no problem. Your wild ones are not a problem for him. Your, let's say, people that are in your life, that in everyday situations, prove to you that they'll never come into the kingdom. And I'm saying to you, God will prove you wrong every time.
Amen.
He'll prove you wrong. Amen. You know why? Because he took the wild beast that had never been ridden, and he'll ride your sons and daughters. He'll ride whoever needs to be ridden to get to the finish line, and it may be sooner than you think.
Right. Oh, Lord, right. Yes.
Okay? So test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. The spirits that are speaking to you about those that are broken or that are full of pride and anxiety or whatever they're involved in, God is not afraid of dealing with them. And his Holy Spirit will baffle you every time. And that's my prayer. Amen. Verse 2, by this you may know, perceive and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man and has come in the flesh is of God, has God for its source. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I would like to stretch that and give you one great punchline. The reality is, he's come in my flesh, and he's also come in your flesh. So if there was a demon that would land in front of me, I would question that demon and make him confess that Jesus Christ is alive in my flesh. And if he didn't say it, whether he looks like an angel, whether he looks holy and dressed in white and gold, it means nothing. If he doesn't confess those words, he's not of God. That's putting things to the test, because I'm telling you, you are going to get confronted. You are going to be tested to see if you're real and if you're going to stick to your guns and stick to the word. The word says, loud and clear, test. What does it mean to test? You went to school. It's to really put you in the driver's seat of whoever is giving you information. And that includes me. Verse 3 again. Every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but would annul, destroy, sever, disunite him, is not of God, does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of Antichrist. and of which you heard that is coming and now is already in the world. So everybody who's thinking that the Antichrist is coming down the road, wake up. This was written 2,000 years ago almost. And it was in the world then. Do you think it took off just because a few years have gone by? No way. Verse 4. Little children, you are of God, and you belong to Him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of Antichrist. I love it. Because He who lives in you, put a circle around in. He who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Mm-hmm. That circle around in convinces you he is alive in the flesh, your flesh. Amen. Verse 5. They proceed from the world and are of the world. Therefore, it is out of the world. Its whole economy, morally considered, that they speak, the world listens and pays attention to them. Verse 6, we are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him, listens to us. In other words, they have ears to hear what you've got and what you're going to speak. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize again, knowledge. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's pretty intense. And it's telling you up front, you need to be on guard. 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow man is begotten and born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest or displayed. Where we are concerned in that God sent his Son and only begotten, a unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. That's the corporate body. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That should also be underlined. Beloved, if God loves us so very much, we also ought to love one another. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides and lives and remains in us, or in me, personalize it. And his love and that which is essentially his is brought to completion, to its full maturity. Circle that as well. Run its full course. Is perfected, not out there, in me. You can take that to the bank and you will definitely get interest. By this we come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in him, and he in us. Get the point? Because he has imparted to us his Holy Spirit. And besides, we ourselves have seen, have deliberately and steadfastly contemplated, and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Anyone who confesses, acknowledges, owns that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, lives and makes his home in him. And he abides, lives, and makes his home in God. It's a transparency that travels in and through. It's not just a one-way street. You are going into him and he's coming into you. It's a harmony that should be understood from what I wear around my neck every day. It's called the Star of David. It's showing a triune human being aiming towards God. It also shows another triangle. It's God in three parts aiming, coming to us and becoming one in the cross. I had a young man this past month who questioned what I have in my neck. And I didn't respond too much in the moment that he asked because of the time restraint. But several days later, I met him again. And this time I was ready. And I shared with him. And he says, well, you know, I'm kind of a mixture. And I says, well, so am I. I'm a mixture of quite a few different nationalities, if you wish. Oh, yeah, but he says, not like me. I says, yeah, but God will take you on anytime. And so I explained what I just did about, you know, what he had questioned on. He said, well, my father's a Muslim and my mother is a Christian. I said, I think there's quite a bit of your mom being nosy like you are is going to prove out pretty much a future for you. He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not telling you you know it now, but you're going to taste later on. Because I said, the one that your mom knows has got an awful lot invested in you already. And he smiled. What am I saying? God abides, lives, and makes his home in him. And he abides, lives, and makes his home in God. 16, and we know, understand, and recognize, are conscious of by observation and by experience, and believe and adhere to and put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love. And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. It's a coordinated reality. It doesn't stop from day to day. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection. Put a circle around attains perfection because that's what we aim for. With us. That we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so am I in this world. I just changed the words. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. So if you're bothered by terror and fear tactics, start declaring this word and personalize it. Make it your prayer. Oh, you say, I know the Father. He loves me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you haven't understood one word that you've just said. You've not understood his love for you if it's just a prayer you've learned.
Amen.
You become a robot.
Amen.
And you know what God does? Hangs up the phone. Yep. He's not interested in your babble. He's interested is when you get to sit down with him and communicate. I see fear in me, God, and I don't want any more. And the only way I'm going to get out of it is when I realize how much you love me. Do I get an amen, sir?
Amen.
When I realize it for myself, it can't be the neighbor's experience that's going to change you.
Amen.
It's him and you together. And I don't know how else to tell you. If you don't do the work, you're not going to get results.
Amen.
If my little friend came to my house and sees my house is clean, it's because my wife and I did some work.
Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. This love is not going to happen to you because your neighbor prayed for you. It's your turn. I know I'm preaching. We love him because he first loved us. You see, I get tired of listening to people saying to me, oh, would you pray for me? You know what? Sometimes I want to give him a good swift kick where it hurts.
Amen.
And say, why don't you pray for yourself for a change? You're not a child. You're not a baby. Well, grow up. Grow up and recognize what he's done for you. And you will get answers to prayer.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking about me. You know why? Because you got to smile on that one, because it hits home on several levels. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Yes, Lord, I know I'm hitting home. 20. If anyone says, I love God, and detests and abominates or hates his brother in Christ, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this command or charge or order, injunction, we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother, believer, as well, or also. Mm-hmm. Love is not a choice that you can deal with on a daily basis when you have good feelings. Or that your brother or sister has acted on your behalf in a loving, compassionate way. Real love is going to stand out of you when somebody says, don't come and see me, and you show up anyway. That's love. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Let me taste.
That kind of love.
So that all the terror in my life,
all the fear tactics are exposed.
I will not put up with them anymore.
I'm all grown up now.
The baby stage is done.
Progressively,
I will heal.
And be set free
if I declare the word
that I've just heard
for myself.
Hallelujah.
And those that I carry in my heart.
That's it.
I know it hit pretty hard, but just take it to the bank and see what the fruits are. And after you've had a couple of years of interest, I think you might be able to retire.